Prentice lifted. A chance to end it. Yes, Anwar Palaez.
Playing in front of a rowdy bunch here, they certainly give the home team faithful a shot on goal. It's the first one of the night, and the scoreboard early on favors the home team. Right moment here for Rodriguez. Planchet with the initial stop, the second one, he says no.
Welcome to Roots Pod, an audio production of Roots Blog and member of the Rootscast Broadcast Network. We have Peter and Aaron here this week. John has been dispatched to Southeast Asia in his continuing quest to make sure that Spurs don't sell Harry Kane. So it's just us this week. We've got kind of an up and down week of Oakland Roots football to talk about. Two wins and a draw, which on the surface sounds pretty good. We had since the last time we've been with you, a 3-1 win over El Paso, which was an incredibly impressive win, I thought. El Paso's one goal was a Clemente own goal very early on in the second half after the Roots, I think, were the better team, not by a huge margin, but definitely by some in the first half. It was a scoreless first half. But the Emra own goal seemed to really energize the team, and they put away three on the road to take all 3 points there, Lindo, Johnny, and Anwar. That seemed like a real letoff for Anwar. It seemed like the monkey got off his back. And maybe it did, because he scored the winner in the 76th minute in the next match, the midweek match home against Las Vegas Lights. And then this past weekend, a 1-1 draw at home against Detroit City, lucky to even get out of there with a point. Paul Blanchet absolutely stood on his head in the second half. And after a spectacular start to the game, Johnny scored 24 seconds in on a really wonderful shot from, 25, 30 yards out. I think I saw on the Twitters, or what do we call it now, on the X, that it was on the X. As the earliest goal in Oakland Roots history. They looked like the better team for much of the rest of the half, but not so much like scoring. They surrendered one on a corner kick after the wall didn't do its job on a free kick. And then Detroit came out in the second half and imposed their will on the match, and it was sort of shocking to watch. So, a congested week, 7 points in three matches, not the worst thing in the world, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's a good return, and the Roots end the week in third place in the West, which is pretty spectacular, although fourth and fifth have games in hand, and if they win them, we'll go above the Roots. That's San Diego and El Paso. San Diego has two games in hand and is only a point back. You can kind of expect that they'll maybe get that point. El Paso, I don't know. I think that that El Paso is coming back to earth, personally, after spending much of the beginning part of the season, I don't want to say overperforming, but with a record that didn't really reflect how they were playing on the pitch. They seem to have lost a little bit of their magic. So the Roots end the week in a really good position, and yet it's very hard not to feel kind of frustrated. So let's start from a much happier place. Let's go back to the El Paso match. And in the wake of this match, John Morrissey, USL tactics sort of guru on the X. A college radio show hosted by someone who's not as cool as they think they are.
It calls to mind ESPN The Ocho to me. Oh my
God, that's exactly what it is. I actually got a chance to see the strobing X sign the other night. I was driving back in the direction of the highway, and I was like, oh, it's just lit up. How bad is that? And then I was sitting at a stoplight, and it just started going off. And I was like, this man needs to pay for this.
Do you see that he was taken down today because he refused entry to a building inspector?
I did see that. I mean, that's good, because it was held up there like my TV is held onto a wall. But anyway, on the X, USL tactics guru John Morrissey made a point that when Oakland's attack is clicking, it is prettier than just about any other attack in the league. And the second half against El Paso gives you a lot of evidence for that particular claim. So, I mean, first of all, great that they found something, but let me complain a little bit here because I didn't get enough sleep last night. That is, I have a hard time disputing that particular proposition that when this attack is clicking, it's better, or it's at least more elegant, more beautiful than any other attack in the league. That's probably happened 5 times in 22 games. And I guess let me put it to you, Peter. Should I be happy that we know that they can reach that level, or should we be saying like, hey, maybe pick something that hits more than once every 4 or 5 games? You know, let's try a strategy that doesn't require us to fire on all cylinders, because it's just not happening often enough. What do you think?
Well, I mean, is it not happening often enough? They're in third, and if games in hand go as bad as they can, they'll be in fifth. Which is below our reach goal for the season of a home playoff game, but, you know, probably about our expected goal for the season. You know, I to continue this just being us talking about John Morris, he says on the X, he also pointed out that this team is really great, but has awful depth.
Yeah.
And
well, that's another thing we're going to get to complain about here in a little bit, I think.
And I think that's basically right. And it's kind of like, it's like if we could go into week one of the playoffs right now with Cedeño, Mefeca, Rodriguez up top, Matt Soso, Gomez, Nane occupying 2 roles in the middle, Diaz and Tamakis on the wings, and then, you know, Hackshaw and Barbier, and then, you know, really take your choice of Murat or Clemente, I think that team probably wins their first playoff game on the road or at home. But you got to have those 11 guys out there, and this, you know, it's a long season. And I really doubt our depth at any position other than that third center back spot. That might actually be the end of the list.
Right wing back. I think right wing back, you got to say we have some depth there.
Who's behind Tamakis?
Memo.
Oh, right, but then we lose our left wing back.
Well, then you lose, oh, right. I mean, you know, you can only have, you can't have everything.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that, right, yeah. If we could have Memo play on both wings, then we have great depth at right wing back.
Well, you make a good point. Maybe I'm being a little too demanding here. They're 9-7-6, right? I mean, this is by far the best return the Roots have had through this point in the season in their USL history, I think. I mean, I don't want to check that, but it has to be true because there's no way they were this close to the top of the table before.
We're 2 wins short of our 2022 win total.
Which is incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've got now multiple guys who have already completed the Boquila for the season and one guy who's about to. I mean, it's the most varied attack we've had, probably. We've made these moves, and this is, maybe this addresses one of your problems, right? I mean, one of the things we didn't talk about so far that has occurred this week, of course, is that Formella was effectively traded for Boubacar Niai, and it would appear that the bet that the front office is making there, such as it is that we have enough guys in the winger attacking mid type roles. We don't have enough guys who can play wing back right now. We're also a little light in the midfield given the injuries.
Well, it might be that it's not so much where we have depth versus where we don't. Cause you know, I think the depth is questionable everywhere. I think it's where going to that depth makes the system fall apart. And that's, you know, I can see you look at those weeks without Tamakis and Hackshaw and say, we can put a Band-Aid on the back line when Hackshaw's out. But if we don't have threats at both wingback positions, we might as well not show up. And that's the logic of getting him is it seems to be very clear that Delgado's system runs on the threat from both of those wingbacks. Because that appears to be where nothing happens when there's a hole in the lineup. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure that he would love another forward, but maybe the point is that you can't get that right now.
Well, I'd like to think that, I mean, we had two goals from Anwar Peláez this last week, which brings his season total to, I want to say three. Yeah,
three goals. Yep.
Three goals. I mean, it could be completely random, or it could be the start of something. And I think it would solve some problems if we had a second guy we could run out there in the center forward role who was capable of scoring. Now, he also flubbed a couple of chances this week, so it's not all sunshine and roses, but things do appear to be looking up, and you have to say that Johnny seems to be getting even hotter somehow. I mean, that shot at the beginning of the Detroit game, I mean, you take it, no one was closing him down, but what an audacious effort, and for it to be so perfect was, it's not something I think we expect from him. I mean, he only scores worldies, but my goodness.
Yeah, but that is a tier above what you need to get into the worldie category. It's such a good goal, and you know the team has backed him for a long time, but struggled to find game time for him to sort of find that footing, and now he's gotten it. He's gotten that opportunity, and he's great. He's second in the league in goals per 90. You know, a couple guys have pulled a little ahead on total goals, but he's still right up there in that as well. And no one's running away with individual goals this season. The league lead is 12. Johnny's on 9.
And, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the stat that FBref has about the team's goal differential with and without a player on the pitch. And we noted that the best players on the team under that metric so far this year, Hackshaw, Tomakis, and Rito, all of whom you would absolutely expect. And in the time since we've had that discussion, Johnny has now edged himself he's ahead of Tomakis by that measure, which says a lot, I think. It's not what I would have expected, honestly. You know, Tomakis's absence is notable in a lot of ways that like ripple across the field, which is not true necessarily of Johnny's absence, but the results are what they are. The man is scoring goals, and it is critical for the Roots' success. Maybe there is no other better system given the players we have, right? Like, this team has been built to run the system that they are currently running, to some degree at least, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I guess I wish I had more time to watch the team more closely, rewatch games and whatnot to see what is it that teams are doing that stops this team, from executing the way they have in games like against Indy 11, like against Birmingham, Orange County, Monterey Bay, and El Paso. I think the attacking performance we got in those games is just streets ahead of everything that we've seen in the last couple of years. And you understand why those performances justify comments like, you know, when this team is clicking, it's really a sight to behold. And I just wish they clicked more often, I guess. You know,
well, here's what I found that the Roots were doing that seemed to be working is over and over and over again, when things were going well for the Roots at the beginning of that Detroit game, Hackshaw or Barbier, you know, from center left or the far left side of the defense, we're passing diagonally all the way across the field to Cedeño in the attacking right. And then Cedeño would take the ball into the box and see if he could make something happen. And it didn't work. It didn't actually ever work because, you know, the Roots' only goal came on that Rodriguez wonder strike. But it looked like it had the chance of working. And, you know, I think to the Roots' credit, Detroit's defense is good. You know, the reason why Detroit aren't totally out of the race in the East is because their defense is incredibly stingy, because their offense is garbage. It is really bad. So, you know, that was working really well. I think what teams are letting the Roots do is, maybe this is obvious, no one wants to get hit on the break. But teams are doing a really good job of getting back so the Roots don't have so the box is busy. the Roots have to shoot through traffic, even if it's their own guys. And what the Roots are doing when they get, when that happens, is they're dribbling backwards out of the box. You know, I can't count the number of times I feel like I saw Cedeño or Reed receive the ball back to goal in the opponent's box and dribble it back outwards and then go to recycle possession and then lose possession. It's like, I don't know, like people, I don't have a great comparison, but there's just so little threat when there's a lot of people in the box, and the Roots aren't scoring on set pieces either, right? And I feel, I would have to go back and look, but I don't feel like they've scored on a set piece in a while. They just,
I think there was one goal from a corner recently, but it's the only one in recent memory.
Yeah. So, you know, you just don't expect them to hurt you with a lot of people in the box. And sometimes the Roots are able to generate, you know, those quick turnovers and quick strikes. And sometimes they're able to sort of like spring a trap like they did again at Monterey, where Diaz set in Cedeño for that penalty. But other times they can. And I think against better defenses, they struggle. You know, the other thing, like I was complaining about the wingback depth, you know, I think that Wolfgang Prentice is close to ready. I think he shows flashes when he's on the field, but I have noticed every time he's been on the field recently, the opposing team eventually lets him go out into all of the space he wants. And, you know, I mean, you know, I'm sure from his point of view, it feels like people aren't passing the ball to him and not giving him the chance. And he has had some great moments. I mean, he set up that goal for Pelaez, right? Or someone. And so he's capable of doing that. But basically, opposing teams are challenging him to make him pay for that. And it isn't happening. And it means that they just suffocate the memo and the memo Barbier side.
And I guess the other, you mentioned this team is not spectacular at breaking down a low block, right? One of the things that has been pretty apparent in the games where they're successful is that it's a very effective high press, which is, I don't know, it's not easy to pull off. You know, it requires a lot of coordination and a little bit of cooperation from the other team. You're probably leaving strategic passing lanes open. They have to take those. I guess if you have the ability to play out of that press, you probably have taken the most, the sharpest arrow out of the Roots quiver, because this team is not equipped to break down a box. You know, they're not tall, right? Who's making the cross and who's getting on the end of the cross?
Yeah.
You know, Tomakis might send a ball in. I don't know who it's going to.
And it's like, for all of Johnny's sort of improved shooting, I feel like a lot of it comes 2-on-2 or 1-on-1 or something, and not, you know, he's not scrapping up balls in the box to poke them away for whatever reason. To your point about the press, I mean, I feel like when that's worked recently, so much of it has come from, I would say, Hackshaw's 10 out of 10 reading the ball in the air, and Clementa and Barbier's 8.5 out of 10. Both of them have the odd mistake in them, but way more often than not, a long ball to one of their guys, they just cut it off, read it right, head it back to Nonair Gomez in the middle.
Well, let me to sort of jump off of parts of this, of what we've been talking about so far. If there's one thing to maybe complain about at the back half of this week, it's that it doesn't really feel like the Roots put their best foot forward against Detroit. And I know that sporting people in sports do this all the time. Oh, you never take anybody for granted, right? So we're going to go out against Las Vegas. We're basically going to put our strongest 11 out against Las Vegas. Maybe we're not going to play it 100%, but we're going to have all the guys in the field so we can get that 3 points. And then we know we're going to have to rest some guys against Detroit. And it was, Nane and Matt Soso, and then Mefeka was a late scratch, or Tomakis and Matt Soso. Mefeka's a late scratch. And we'll just roll the dice and see what happens. And I understand the mindset. You never want to take anybody for granted. You don't want to take anyone too lightly. at the same time, Las Vegas is worse than Detroit. I mean, there's just no way around it. Neither of these games is critical, right? None of these were six-pointers, but they're two teams the Roots should have beaten. And it felt, especially in the second half against Detroit, like the Roots had really hamstrung themselves by not looking ahead one game and saying, hey, you know what? Maybe one of our important guys should sit against Vegas so that we have a reasonably strong 11 against Detroit. And not just a strong 11, a strong 18, right? I mean, I thought the guys who came off the bench at the end of the Detroit game actually acquitted themselves very well. I was watching Itzgar Cruz and thinking, I don't know why we haven't seen this guy more often. He's not tall. His running around was a little bit misdirected, but at the same time, it wasn't out of control. It wasn't chaotic. It seemed to be within the system, and we've had some issues with midfielder depth. I just don't know why we haven't seen him already, but Detroit was, and I think this goes to partly why they're such a good defensive team, big physical team. And Oakland ended that match with a physically overmatched lineup on the pitch. And it's part of the reason why at the end of the day, Paul Blanchet is the obvious man of the match, because they got overwhelmed time and time again by the physicality of Detroit City. And it was, I mean, they were just inches away from not just losing that game, but losing by a couple of goals. Paul really stood on his head just to keep that draw intact. And I was trying to talk myself down on this, and I was like, you know what, how many times are you going to play three matches in 8 days like that, right? I mean, maybe this is we don't need to worry about this, right? Well, okay. So we have this weekend, Charleston, then there's a two-week break, and then, hey, look at that, three matches in 7 days, and they are Colorado Springs, New Mexico United, and Louisville City away. And if you go in to that three-match stretch with the same kind of mindset that let's just get everything we can out of the first two and then we'll see what happens, you're going to be throwing that third one away. I mean, Louisville City away is not an easy task.
It's the one to throw away, though.
I guess that's the one to throw away because it doesn't matter. They're not in the West and they're very good, but it seems like it's avoidable. It felt like this was, like you said, we don't have a lot of depth, and this was not the best use of the depth, I thought. And I don't know if this is something we need to worry about. Like I said, I think maybe the answer is no, but it was a little disappointing not to put your best foot forward out there against Detroit City when doing so would not really have required a whole lot of forward plan of, you know, advanced planning. I don't know. I'm just to throw it out there. I was excited to see the players on the field at the end of the Detroit City game, but it also felt like they were being thrown to the wolves. And I don't know if that's not what you should be doing when you're in this position in the table at this point in the season, in my opinion.
No. And I wonder how much, if it's throwing them to the wolves. I mean, I think a lot of that is because there's one game and then a 2 week break. It's a full week or 6 days and then a game and then 2 weeks. Here's my other defense of Delgado's planning here is that he didn't expect to start Trayvon Reed. He named Lindo as a starter and Lindo obviously got hurt in the warmups. And so he wasn't planning to make two changes from the strongest 11. He was planning to make one and give Tamakis the day off. And I think with that, you know, we were saying at the game, I think with Lindo out there, I think the Roots very likely win. I don't know that I would have guessed that. I mean, I can see the idea of playing Reed against a big physical team because Lindo might get bullied where Reed could run past them. But either way, Delgado did choose Mfeka and then couldn't play him after resting him most of Wednesday, only giving him 34 minutes on Wednesday. So there's that. I don't think, you know, I think that Napo needs the rest. I don't think between Nane, Napo, and Danny Gomez that I consider any two of those three to be like the preferred two. If you're going to rest Napo, I wouldn't criticize Delgado for making that decision and say he was starting a weaker starting 11. I don't know. I mean, I think you try to win the game against Vegas and then see what happens against Detroit. But, you know, I understand the point you're making.
Yeah, I'm for sure picking nits here. And it's a good spot to be in. You know, it's a team, Detroit City, you would want to beat them in particular. And it was a little bit disappointing that game got away from them. And I guess part of it, too, is there have been a number of matches this season where Paul has really had to bail out the guys in front of him. And this is, to go back to the first question I asked, this team seems to run real hot and cold sometimes. And they've run hot enough to make it right now to third in the West. It feels like something they're going to have to get a hold of before in the 12 matches before the end of the season.
They do really seem to play down to their opponent, especially at home. And that is a frustrating observation to have to make, and may honestly be the most negative thing I have to say about Delgado's coaching. Because time after time, for whatever reason, you know, maybe business decisions, whatever else, the Roots have made trades that or sales that none of us feel like the logic is there. You know, Formella for Babacar is they play in different positions, but overall right now all of us think there need to be more goal scoring. Rito for Cedeno, you know, Rito is the better player. I maintain Cedeno is better for the system, and I feel somewhat vindicated by the last couple of months, although I was mostly saying that to feel better, not because, you know, I won't say I didn't have the courage or my convictions, but it was some wish casting. Through all of that, I think, you know, Delgado is putting out a team that's getting, you know, 1.55 points per game from a team with a lot of guys that other coaches in USL might not have thought they wanted. And I think that's huge. You know, I think that's the sign of a great coach. But, you know, the one criticism I really have of Delgado right now, other than the sort of meme of him never making substitutions, is why can't he get these guys up for the home games? Or if he does, why is it not turning into results? Why does it always seem to be, if the opponent's bad, we're going to play bad?
Well, the good news is that the rest of the home schedule is tough. Let me put it like that. Colorado Springs, Sacramento, FC Tulsa, who is seventh in the West, Monterey Bay, San Antonio, and El Paso. So we have gotten all of the easy home matches out of the way. Maybe this won't be an issue for the rest of the season.
All right. Smooth sailing.
Smooth sailing for the rest of the season. And again, we are obviously picking nits here. This team is, it's the best team we've gotten to watch wear the Oakland Roots kit so far.
No doubt.
Based on what I've seen, Sacramento, San Antonio, Tampa Bay, three best teams in the USL. They are a step ahead of everyone else. I think you'd have a hard time saying the Roots aren't in the conversation for best of the rest right now. Like, that is genuinely where they are.
Well, the team on top of the East is Pittsburgh, and the Roots held Pittsburgh, you know, to a nil-nil draw that was awful, but, you know, could have been a win.
I don't think Pittsburgh's better than Tampa Bay, but they are on top. And right behind them is Charleston. 2 points back is Charleston, who is the Roots' opponent this coming weekend. This is another team that appears to be sort of outperforming. Honestly, they don't have the game-to-game results that would suggest that they are second in the East. And in a pretty good spot, too, right? Pittsburgh, Charleston, and Tampa Bay have a sizable lead over everyone else in the East. Charleston, I mean, they're part of this conversation, even though their goal differential is two. You know, part of the problem there is they lost to San Antonio by 7 goals. But, oh, and to Indy 11 by 4. But a team that can lose by 7-4 is not normally the kind of team that you expect to see at that spot in the table. They're on a bit of an upswing. I think they're the reason they're on an upswing is because they went through a bit of a rough patch. Last 5-3 wins, 2 draws. The wins are Loudoun, Pittsburgh, and Birmingham. Draws are Indy, 11, and Miami. So there's not much to draw from that particular collection of results, except that they're getting done what they need to get done. Their best players, I mean, you will recognize their top goal scorer, Augustine Williams, who, where was he? Tacoma? Was he in Tacoma?
He was on Galaxy 2 in 21 before moving to Loyal also in 21.
That's right. San Diego.
Got some call-ups for Galaxy in that same season. And then he's been at Charleston since then. You may also recognize Augie Williams because he played in Hayward for Alliance FC. And Augie Williams may be the Roots white whale for strikers. the realists, Josie Altidore.
Other people you may recognize, Trey Muse is the goalie. He's been around a while. Arturo Rodriguez was on Phoenix last year. He's getting a lot of minutes for this team. Emilio Icaza was on, RGV last year, I think? Sorry, Peter, go ahead.
Oh, Fidel Barajas has 7 assists, which is an eye-popping number.
And he is 17 also.
Really?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I know.
He's not going to be in this league for long, huh?
I somehow doubt it.
Oh, Augie Williams, 9 goals, is buttressed by 3 penalties.
Oh, what a fraud.
Real Otar Carlson.
So it's a team with a bunch of USL vets, plus Fidel Barajas. It's a big test. You know, it's an important game. I think the Roots are now in a position where drop points are, they have to be kept to a minimum. You know, they are right there in that race for a home playoff spot. And games like this are going to be kind of important. So, Peter, how do you see this one playing out?
2-2, which I consider a good result. Like, yeah, it's dropped points, but you're away to a good team. I think you take 2 points, you go into your 2 weeks off, and then, you know, you come back ready to knock heads in your conference.
Yeah, you make a good point. I hadn't mentioned that there's 15 days, after the Charleston game before the next one, which is against Switchbacks. So just let it all hang out, basically. This is the time to go for it. I imagine there's some tired legs on the squad, but, you know, I think you can dig deep and get this result. I like Oakland here. I think that Charleston just hasn't looked great against the better teams. You know, they do have a draw away at Sacramento, which is really good. They have 2 wins over Tampa Bay, which is hard to fathom, honestly. But you look at the better teams on their schedule, and it's the teams they're not getting the wins against. And I think at this point, it's time to start considering the Oakland Roots one of the better teams on everyone's schedule. So I think Oakland's got this one. I think 3-1, when you have that Tomakis and Hackshaw back in the starting lineup together, you know, magic happens. Maybe it'll be a grind, but I like Oakland in this one. And hopefully that'll give us some good vibes going into what I guess you'd call the summer break for Oakland. We'll hopefully see you at the official watch party. And until then, up the Roots.